You found us. Welcome to the Hull Minster Podcast, a church in the centre of Hull. Your place to worship, enjoy, explore and to belong. If you'd like more information in how you can get involved, visit our website at www.hullminster.org.
It's good to be here at the 6:30 service, and this is part of a Lent course. Our house group, the house group that meets in our house, Sharonite House, is most of you are participating in that. If you're not already part of a group, then I'd recommend it. Not necessarily our house, but the course, and. This is the period of Lent, and I was kind of reflecting with Dan before we, while we was praying in there, that for some of us, this story is so kind of familiar that we know it. We know it backwards. We kind of know the seasonal thing that we're now into Lent. We'll soon get to Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Easter Sunday, and we're familiar with the story, but. In actual fact, there's many kind of nuances and understandings of what Jesus did for us on the cross, that sometimes this story can come to us in a fresh way and give us a fresh understanding and insight. And that's my prayer for tonight as we look at this passage. I'll be jumping around the place a little bit to different passages, but let's pray together. Father, we want to ask that as we look at this familiar story, that you would inspire us and encourage us with the amazing thing that Jesus did for us on the cross. In your name, Lord. Amen. Now, the hot topic at the moment, I'm sure you've gathered, is the coronavirus. Now, as a healthcare professional, I work in a prison as a healthcare professional, we have a document that talks about social distance and how the coronavirus is going to kind of bring about social distance. We saw that worked out in church this morning. There was quite a big discussion about if you feel a bit kind of cautious about using the communion and so on, and you don't have to shake hands in the peace. Some of us just ignored that and we gave a corona-free hug anyway. But it just, this is the thing that is really occupying a lot of people's mind at the moment, isn't it? I had one of my service users in the prison who came up to me the other day and said, "Terry, I'm convinced I've got the coronavirus." He was absolutely convinced he had the coronavirus. And he didn't want to kind of shake my hand or anything like that, or fist bump like you do when you're in the prison. But he was convinced he had the coronavirus. I want to say that I don't believe he has, and it has not affected me in any way whatsoever. But this kind of NHS document about social distance was reflecting on the fact that people are getting a bit more cautious in terms of the social interactions that they're having. And when we think about Jesus on the cross, and stay with me, we might think this link is tenuous, but it's not, at least I hope it's not. When we think about Jesus on the cross, this was actually social distance taken to its actual extreme. Now, have you ever wondered why it is that there's Roman soldiers and the whole kind of Roman imperial system could actually be so cruel to Jesus and to those who were crucified? And we saw the story, didn't we, in the actual book, the things he carried. If you've read some of the accounts of the crucifixion and how that was intended to be a humiliating and painful death. It was designed to be as painful as possible over as long a period of time as possible. And of course the process would actually start not just at crucifixion, but as the condemned person would walk The Via Dolorosa, as we've come to know it now, which actually means the way of grief. And if we extend that little bit, have you ever wondered how, as human beings, we can perpetuate things like concentration camps, which set out to exterminate an entire group or race of people? How can we do that? How can we perpetuate that kind of cruelty? How can we be somehow consider that someone is a different race to us, or a different gender, or a different sexuality to us, is actually subject of our hate? And one of the ways that we do that as human beings is part of the process of doing that is that we have to dehumanize other people. We have to see other people as less than human. And that's why it's okay to put people in a concentration camp. That's why it's okay to persecute certain minorities, because part of the process that we have to go through is that we have to learn to see those people as less than human. What's that going to do with the cross? Well, as I said earlier, crucifixion was not just about killing someone. It was about humiliating them, and it was about reducing their humanity to nothing. We think about some of the genocides that have taken place across history and across the world. We think about some of the people that I work with, many of them who are homeless and use spice as a drug and a way of relieving that. And often when you read in the newspapers, they're not people, they are spice zombies. So we dehumanize them by saying they're not really people, they're just zombies. And in the same way, crucifixion was designed not only to kill someone, but to strip away their humanity. And that's why it was so cruel. And that's why it was so terrible. And I want to make a link to the passage in Philippians chapter... This is where I'm going to get in the Bible now. This passage in Philippians chapter 2. You'll have read it many, many times. Sometimes we do it as part of our creed in church. Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to read it all, but reading from verse 6. It says this: who being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the nature of a servant, and being made in human likeness, he was found in appearance as a man. This whole passage was probably one of the hymns of the early church, one of the earliest kind of creedal statements about who Jesus was. And notice that phrase where it says, being the very nature God, what does it say? He made himself nothing. He made himself nothing. And I don't think it's stretching that verse. Some of you might have done that. I don't think it's stretching that verse too much to kind of say that on the cross and through that process of crucifixion, Jesus became nothing. He left. He lost his humanity. In Isaiah 52-53, you might want to read that sometime. It talks about Jesus being marred more than any other man. His face was so scarred and battered and bruised that it was no longer recognizable. He became less than human. But he became less than human so that we could become fully human. He became less than human so that we could become fully human. And that's one of the things that Jesus did for us on the cross. He took all the world's violence and nastiness and sin and cruelty and absorbed it into himself and transformed it into something that could give us life. There's another verse in Colossians 2, verse 9. Colossians 2, verse 9 says, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." Some versions say, "In Christ the fullness of the Godhead lives in bodily form." I actually like that version. And you might know that when I tend to preach, I tend to use a version that say what I want to say. So that's one of them, really. The fullness of the Godhead. As a bit of an aside, I don't know if you've ever realised that the word Trinity actually isn't mentioned in the Bible. Did you ever know that? Did you ever realise that? That the word Trinity isn't mentioned in the Bible? When I was a young Christian, I was like scouring the Bible, so I'm thinking, where is the word Trinity? And it's not there. So when we used to be called Holy Trinity, it's actually not a Bible word. The word the red Trinity actually isn't in the Bible. But the word Godhead is. But I suppose Holy Godhead doesn't have the same kind of ring, does it, really? But it's this tremendous idea here. Just look at that verse. "For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity, all the fullness of who God is, lives in bodily form." Hope you've seen that link now to that verse that we said earlier. This deity, this God who became in bodily form, who emptied himself, who was very God of very God, who was the Word made flesh, according to John 1, actually made himself nothing. He became less than human for us on the cross, so that we could become fully human.